Good morning, everyone. Happy Christmas to Harbour Church. For those of you that are here, did you know it's Christmas? Yes, praise God. And happy Christmas to all of you on the internet who are watching through the wonder of today's science. And it's great to be able to communicate with you, be with you in your sitting rooms. And we're going to have a few minutes just coming around the Word of God, or my Word of God, as I see it today. And I want to start off by reading a scripture. Now, I know Mary Jane started with this just now, but I want to read a bit more. It says, "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, Messiah, the Lord has been born in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger.' Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.' When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, 'Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about the child. All who heard the shepherds' story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them." What a great story. And today we're celebrating Christmas, 2,000 odd years after that event. Well, I hope we're celebrating Christmas, you know, because obviously, for a while, it seemed a bit touch and go. Would it happen? Wouldn't it happen? Well, you know, to be honest, Christmas happens whatever. You know, Christmas changes. Not Christmas, the actual thing of Christmas, the birth of Jesus, but how we celebrate Christmas changes quite a lot all the time. I remember when I was a child, Christmas was very, very different for us. For a start, we weren't Christians, so we didn't go to church. Instead, on Christmas Day, we would spend the morning going around all the relatives, and we had lots of relatives giving presents and receiving presents, having cups of tea and coffee and mince pies and all the rest of it. Then on to the next one and next one. And eventually, we'd get home and have Christmas dinner about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Then Boxing Day, we'd go to our grandmother, and we'd have a party, we'd have another Christmas dinner, and all the family would descend there. I don't know why we didn't just give them all the presents then, but we didn't. We did it the day before. Anyway, Christmas, Boxing Day, we'd have a party, we'd play games, all sorts of things. Then the Sunday after Christmas, we'd have another party. Everyone would come to us. The whole family again would come to us. And, you know, it was one party after another. And then, of course, there was my aunt's party, for her works party for children of staff members, and my brother and I were often invited to this, and there were about 40 or 50, maybe 60 other children that were invited. It was a massive affair, and people like Josh used to be there entertaining the children. You know, you should stand up and show us those lights, Josh. You know, I know you're trying to be the light of the world, but you're not. But let your light shine. Anyway, there would be entertainers there, magicians and all sorts, and they'd try and get their children involved in it. And one year, back in 1962, I know it was 1962, I was 10 years old. My Christmas started to change from that year. You see, they invited someone to come to the stage and sing the first line or two of a song called "I Remember You," which probably none of you will know about unless you're of a certain age. And it was by a chap called Frank Ifield, and it was his big hit. It was the big hit of the year. And they said, will someone come and sing that song? The first line of that song. And I was there like a shot. And I was up there, and I said, right, sing that line. Well, I wasn't content with just singing that line. I had to sing the whole song because I knew all the words. So I sang the whole song, and all through the song they were trying to stop me. But I just wasn't having it. To me, it was a real triumph. You know, I was amazed at how well I did. But the funny thing is, obviously, they weren't so amazed because I was never invited back to that party again. And for me, Christmas started to change that year. The parties seemed to disappear a bit, you know. We still had the family ones where they had to invite me, but other people didn't invite me so much. And I'm just wondering, you know, is your Christmas all about parties? Because if it is, then Boris, when he said Christmas is cancelled, would have a real effect on you. If it's all about the food and the presents and the parties. But actually, Christmas isn't just about that. You know, people have been trying to cancel Christmas ever since Jesus was born. The wise men came to King Herod and said, "Where's the one who has been born King of the Jews? We want to go and worship him." And Herod was really put out by it and decided to try and cancel Christmas by killing all the children 2 years old or more, under rather. So anyway, Boris couldn't cancel Christmas. He could only cancel the parties. And I'm here to say that it's not the end of the world, folks. My parties have been gone for a long time, but I'm still celebrating Christmas. And I love Christmas. You know, when I was told that I'm going to preach today or bring this message today, I went home, because we were doing the meeting via Zoom. That night I went to bed and I was thinking about it. And I was thinking, what am I going to say? And I thought, what was that first Christmas like? I wonder what that first Christmas was like. And I just had this image of the shepherds in the field, that story, of them sitting around a fire, talking away, and, you know, just doing life normally. And then maybe one of the shepherds, now this is a bit of a strange thought, but I thought maybe one of the shepherds turned to the others and said, "So what are you doing for Christmas?" And the other shepherds would have said, "What? What's Christmas?" Now, I know that's not what they said, but that's what we say to each other every year, isn't it? "So what are you doing for Christmas, Josh? What are you doing for Christmas, Jill?" And the answer usually is, "Well, I've got the family coming over. They're coming for dinner, or they're coming for the day, or they're coming for a week, or they're moving in, or whatever, you know." And it's the same question every year and the same sort of answers. But the shepherds didn't answer that question, and I just wondered what it was like. And that's the question I want to ask you today. What are you doing for Christmas? What's your Christmas all about? You see, for those shepherds, it was very different. There were no turkeys being stuffed. There were no last minute gifts that we had to get for the kids or Auntie Mary. There were no inflatable Santas on the side of our house. I'm not mentioning anyone in particular, or light up reindeer in the garden or anything like that. There were just the shepherds in the field, and then there were angels rejoicing and telling that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, was being born or had been born. And it was what everyone had been waiting for. There was that prophecy from Isaiah, 700 years before, I believe it was, where he said, God said to him, "The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and you'll call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And the shepherds were frightened to start with, and then overjoyed and excited, and the angels are doing cartwheels in the sky, and just rejoicing that God was with them. So the shepherds went off and worshipped him and found it, just as they said. And then they couldn't help telling everyone that they met. And let me tell you, there were a lot of people to tell in Bethlehem. I found it a really interesting point. You know what? Those shepherds were the first believers. They were the first ones to celebrate Christmas. And when they got back to the field, I bet they were just so overjoyed because they had the revelation that God was with them. And that is the best revelation you can get. You see, the parties might have been cancelled. Doesn't matter. Your turkey might not be cooking in the oven. I hope mine is, but it might not be. You know, it really doesn't matter. If you know that Jesus is God Almighty and He is with you, you've got that revelation. That's what Christmas is about. It's everything that it's about. And the rest is just trimming. I love Christmas. I love all the bits. Even the inflatable Santa, Josh, for anyone at home who doesn't know, who hasn't driven past his house. You know, I love all the glitz of Christmas and the food and the parties. But what I love most of all these days is the fact that I have a revelation like those shepherds that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ is living in me. And that means that Almighty God is living in me. And you know, I want to ask you a simple question. So what are you doing for Christmas? What's your Christmas all about? Is it the turkey and the parties? The inflatable Santas? Nothing wrong with any of those. It's great to have them. But you know, it's Jesus' birth that we're celebrating. It's His life that we're celebrating. And a party, a birthday party where you don't invite the birthday boy, is always going to be a bit flat and a bit empty. So what I want to ask you this morning is Jesus in your party? Is He in your Christmas? Has He been invited? And I just want to ask you this morning, would you like to invite Jesus to your party, into your life, if you haven't already done it? If you have done it, make sure He's there. You know, because sometimes we can be so, I tell you, this last week has been manic for me. I've been up at 4 o'clock in the morning trying to get things finished and not gone to bed till 12 o'clock at night trying to finish it. I finished what I was doing quarter past six last night, and then I had to start doing the dinner and preparations and all that, you know. And it can be absolutely manic, and we can leave Jesus out, and all for good reasons, we think. But nothing is more important than Jesus, especially at Christmas, but every day. And I just want to give you that opportunity right now. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, why don't you ask Him in right now? Let's just pray. Father, and you just pray this prayer at home, wherever you are, or if you're here and you've never asked Him in, just pray this prayer. Pray it from your heart. Like, Jesus, thank you for coming to live in this world for me. Thank you for paying the price for my sin. And Jesus, would you come into my life right now? Forgive me my sins. Help me to live for you. And I want every day to have that revelation that my God is with me. Jesus, I give you my life. Amen. God bless you and have a wonderful Christmas. But don't forget, always invite Jesus to the party. God bless you.
We're going to conclude with the carol, Joy to the World, the Lord.